Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Scream that's coming out Wednesday, and there's 65 million.
65 oh, yeah. What?
Million. The Adam Driver versus dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That trailer is so weird. Why does the dinosaur come, like, super quiet behind him?
Well, you know, he's being sneaky.
I'm a sneaky T-Rex.
Sneaky dinosaur. I'm going to eat you up. Nom, 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 nom.
Nom, nom, nom.
All sneaky-like. No, I Adam Driver. I'm sneaking up. Not that I can sneak up on those massive ears of yours.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to The Phantom Zone, your one-stop shop for all things nerdy. If you like what you hear today, you can listen to our other episodes and a whole range of nerdy topics now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now on SoundCloud. My name is Chris Buick, and I'm joined once again, this time by all my fellow nerds, Simone, Ian, and Toby. How are you all?
Yes,
ever-present.
Good.
We're all back together again. This is beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. It's been a few episodes since the four of us have been on, yeah. I think. But
we've reunited, feels so good.
Oh, I was just about to sing it, and you just went for it.
Yeah.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Oh, we're sued. That's it.
Got to get it in there.
Podcast is over now. Podcast is over. Well, the four of us are here for a very special reason. We are here this week with UK Film Review to talk about the film that a lot of people are talking about, a film that if nothing else gives you exactly what it promises in the title, we are going to be talking all about Cocaine Bear.
Woo!
Exactly. That kind of film. but before we get into the madness that is Cocaine Bear, we have Simone.
Nerd News!
Wow, got a lot of,
echo.
It went on a bit. It was a lot of echo, yeah. Good. Well done. Brilliant. We do have Nerd News. First bit of Nerd News, kind of like us on the podcast, four characters reuniting for the greater good. We have something I think we're all excited about, is the new trailer for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which was released a few days ago, I believe, for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. We've all watched the trailer.
Yeah.
We're all excited. How do we feel about this one?
I think it looks amazing.
It looks really good.
It does look really good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Art style's amazing. Yeah.
Visually striking.
It's from it's from the same director who made Mitchell's versus Machines, which
that was so good.
Which is a great film, great animation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's made me even more excited.
Yeah,
and I think was a sleeper little hit that just came out of nowhere, just really knocked out the park.
It was it was one of those that just came and you're like, "What's that?" And you're like, "Wow, why?" Yeah. More, I don't think enough people I know have watched that film.
No, it's
I agree,
criminally underrated.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen Mitchell's vs. Machines, listeners, go watch it.
Frank Slater, it's probably one of the best like animated feature length films I've seen in like a while. I think, you know, not to knock too many that come out, but I think sometimes some larger companies, you know, not to name names, Pixar, do films that are like semi-samey at points.
Yeah.
And the fact they've also been doing a lot of sequels / prequels to what properties that were very
and more popular. Sequels to come, apparently. We've got more Toy Stories on the way. Because that's what we need.
Well, I think Disney seemed to have that sort of if it works, keep it going. Sort of mentality, because it's the same thing with Marvel, isn't it? You know, keep it, can it uniform? Keep it, that. Keep
we were just for like 5 minutes, and we've already got annoyed at Marvel again.
Oh, no, I did it. I busted it out. Oh, Marvel, what are you doing to me?
I think what was so great about the potential with the TMNT is that I really like just the raw sort of animated style. You know, it's a mix of 2D, 3D. It sort of pushes the boundaries to what 3D animation and what animation on the whole can really create visually. And you know how much of a proponent I've been for CGI and animated movies. I think they should really push this more. You know, really get the creatives out there.
Yep.
Let them unleashed and just go crazy. It's just, oh, I'm so psyched for this one.
Well, it is good because we just over this weekend, which I think me and Chris briefly discussed yesterday mentioning it, but me and Simone watched Puss in Boots over the weekend, The Last Wish, and it is fantastic. And again,
it's heads and shoulders above the other ones.
Oh, it's so much better. I think it's as good as like the, if not better than the original Shrek. I'm going to just put it out there.
I put it there too.
Because I think I'm the only one here who hasn't seen it. And
it's
I think,
really good, man.
I know.
It is very good.
From the three of you and a few others have told me, it's weird that you say to me, like, the most recent Puss in Boots sequel is better than, you know, the original Shrek. Because it's like, you don't expect, like, Puss in Boots, I don't know, is this 3 or 4, to be, like,
the
groundbreaking film that it is. But I've heard amazing things.
It's so good.
But to watch it now.
When we were watching it, I said to Simone, like, this is like, not only is it an amazing story, like written, the dialogue's great, they really hit the nail on the head, but this is what you can do. Like, I felt like maybe we'd reached a point where we'd done everything we could with animation, you know what I mean? Whereas since Into the Spider-Verse, they're doing more stuff that's different, looks unique, and they're trying things. And Puss in Boots looks amazing, and this looks amazing as well because of that. You know, that's what really does it. But I think the dialogue looks really good. I like that they are actually teenagers in this, because the weird CGI live action one that they did
for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
and they're giant like dudes. They're like huge, just like muscle bound, jacked, like bros from the gym.
It's very Michael Bay, wasn't it?
It was. Whereas this is like, I really like when, oh, so you got some chemical fluid. It's like, we like to call it ooze. It rolls there. Ooze. Sounds good, right? Ooze.
Well, it's also nice the fact that they're teenagers and they sound like teenagers.
Yeah.
Donatello having that squeaky voice is brilliant. I think
they're not like complete experts in what they're doing.
No,
either. You know, they're kind of learning the ropes as well. I mean, Simone, obviously you just watched the trailer just before we started this recording. What did you think of it?
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm really excited to see what it's like. I mean, we all love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I think a lot of sort of like, as we've been saying, the movies that we've had recently have not been great. So we will see. This is promising.
Done, like a really good TMNT film.
Wasn't there one in the
90s?
I
didn't mind the 2012 one. It wasn't terrible.
What was the one in the 90s?
CGI.
Wasn't there one in the 90s?
And it was
I think it probably was terrible, but
there was a live action kind of one that was a bit, you know, Super
Mario
Brothers.
Oh, was that one with Vanilla Ice in?
Yeah, I think it was a bit like Super Mario Brothers, where they were in suits and stuff. And
I
the live action Splinter
Well, there's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
That's the one is, yeah. with
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, which I think is Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
I'm a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell when someone is when they use the TNNT and they say it like super fast.
Don't
like,
judge me. Don't judge me. I've watched all the animated shows. I read the
animated
books.
Show
They're
is
so
amazing.
Good. There's a 2002 one called TMNT, which was fantastic. And it had Shredder as an Ooptron, which was what Krang's species are.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of blended the two characters, and he was probably the coolest Shredder they'd done in a long time.
Mm.
And I'm going to stop geeking out too much.
I do love Shredder. Shredder is
Shredder
is great. However, Shredder is not in this film.
That's okay. That's fine.
No casting for Shredder in this film. However, the cast does look amazing. Obviously,
star-studded. Yeah,
we've got newcomers or relatively newcomers. I'm guessing for the main four. But you've got Jackie Chan as Splinter, which you know,
awesome.
Brilliant casting.
Brilliant casting, yeah.
Seth Rogen cast, who is producing the film. Obviously, he's a massive nerd, probably a massive fan of TMNT. And he's casting himself as Bebop, as Toby pointed out, clearly casting himself as warthog creatures in his career now. So after the last
set
thing,
trend.
That's all he wants to be.
Yeah.
I am henceforth a warthog.
I don't want to... There's one thing to be typecast, then there's typecasting yourself.
Goes home and he's rolling around in mud, and his wife's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. We've got John
dressed up as Timon.
we've got John Cena.
Libelous. That's not true. Yeah,
we'll cut that bit.
It's fine.
We got John Cena, Rose Byrne, Ice Cube, Paul Rudd, Maya Rudolph, and then Giancarlo Esposito, who's in everything now, isn't he?
Yep.
Let's be honest.
What
else has he been in?
He's Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul.
He's
in Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
He is just like bad guy. Just get him in, bad guy.
He is the go-to bad guy now. He's great in everything, but so many good people in this. Yeah. And obviously, like we said, Jeff Rowe, who did Mitchell's vs. Machines, is behind it. So I've got full confidence this is worth watching. Yeah.
Super excited by this.
Comes out in August 4th this year. So, not long. So I guess we will be back at some point to review it for sure and go from there.
Cowabunga.
Cowabunga, indeed. Our next piece of their news, moving to, I guess, the Marvel Universe, but not the MCU, the Sony Marvel Universe, which, you know, is still a thing, apparently.
Fingers didn't break them.
Despite their best efforts to drive itself into the ground. But this could be exciting. So this is the news. we'll see. Is Sydney Sweeney is due to play Julia Carpenter in the upcoming Madam Web / Spider-Woman adaptation, which on one hand, Sydney Sweeney is a great actress. She's in things like Handmaid's Tale, White Lotus, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But on the other hand, this is another property in the Sony Spider-Man universe that it seems like they just keep throwing stuff at a wall to see what sticks. And this might just be the latest one. What do we think?
It's just like it's a very bizarre plot line because I think this one's about Madam Web, isn't it? Who's played by Dakota Johnson?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and that I mean, she was always a very unique character. Let's put it that way, and she had a very big prominence in the 1990s animated series, as I recall. Who was kind of like, "Oh, Spider-Man! It's the mission of the week to I've seen it from my chair," you know. It was her sort of predictions, and I kind of get that they're kind of making it word for word, and I kind of feel like this is going to be another sort of, you know, take the source material loosely and just sexy it up as best as they can with Sony.
Yeah,
you know, I want to like it, but I just can't. The Sony properties.
Do you want to
really...
like it?
No, I don't. Damn you, Sony.
I don't want to like it at all.
So Sony just, what are they doing? They've got the licenses for these characters, and they're just like, let's just grind it into the ground as long as we can do, and then even when Marvel get the rights back, no one will want to watch their bloody films.
No. So the general,
says the pessimist in me, you know,
the general synopsis is like the film will be an origin story of the clairvoyant Madame Web, whose psychic abilities will allow her to see within the spider world, and that's it. And I'm just like, okay, like sure, it just screams like Morbius again.
Yeah,
and again they're like, oh, it'll have Spider Woman in, so that's cool. And I'm like, I don't care and I don't want to see it. I don't want it to be made. Sony, go away. In fact, yeah. No, Sony, come back and just make animated films like Into the Spider-Verse. Stop making this crap. Like, just
one thing they've done right with the idea for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, in their Spider-Man universe, they've released 3 films. 2 of them are Venom films. So, and the other is Morbius, which, you know, we don't need to talk about ever again.
Again, no.
Then you've got Kraven the Hunter coming up. El Muerto. There's nothing there that inspires confidence.
What was the other one? The Hypno Hustler.
Yeah.
The Hypno Hustler with
Donald Glover. That's the only one I am actually wanting to see, because I reckon that could just be
batshit crazy.
Yeah, exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. I think that could be absolutely mental, and I'm like, cool, I'm down for that. But this one just sounds like...
I just hope
like...
he records the music for it, and it's just like a Charlie Gambino.
I'll go for that.
Now, if we were in the writer's room / directing the Hypno Hustler one, I think it should be like a, almost like, what was that one that was released recently? But it was like almost like the blaxploitation films. And I think Eddie Murphy was in it.
Dolomite is my name.
Yeah, they should do it like that. I would be down to watch something like that, like, and really lean into like the pastiche of like that genre of films. But they're not going to do that because it's Sony, and it's just
that'd actually be really cool. I agree with you.
Yeah, that'd be really good. But instead, we're going to just have crap. It's just be real crap. And
I guess there's a question between universes for us: are we more excited for what DC are going to be offering, or what Marvel are going to be? I think we are, right?
DC a thousandfold.
DC for days.
Yeah. I think what they are bringing to the table, or potentially bringing to the table, I'm much more interested in seeing what that is.
I think having said that, the recent news was Aquaman's not been testing well.
Yeah.
I know that's sort of pre-gun.
I am
so
shocked.
We can't really judge that.
I am aghast.
Okay. Do you mean the sequel to an already terrible franchise is not doing well?
Apparently Shazam's had the worst, like, reception of any DC film thus far.
That's harsh.
Which is pretty harsh, because like I was like, god damn, that's really bad then. But
the first one was very popular at the time.
Yeah.
And it did critically well. I thought it was okay. It was very serviceable, but
no. No, yeah, I'm not sold
about the second one.
The one thing DC has a problem with is getting through this period. That's the one thing it has to get through the remainder of the crap that we've got. And then once we've sludged through the shit that is around us, that is Aquaman and whatever else is going to be, whatever else is stewing up. Once we get through that, I think we're on to like good, clean, you know, easy street. I don't know what that allegory
also
was, but we're there.
The internet needs to realize that James Gunn is not responsible for these films.
Yeah.
And these films have been made. These films have been made well in advance of him becoming head of DC. Yeah. So they are not his films. So don't start having a go at him for it.
But I mean, the internet's the internet.
He's on defense daily at the minute for stuff that isn't his fault.
Flack left, right, and center. And it's,
why did you hate Henry Cavill? It's like, I don't hate Henry Cavill.
Exactly. But to be honest, we touched upon this before, how it was even in the days of the Snyderverse, where like the Snyder fans just almost became like this obsessive cult. And I'm glad they released the Justice League Snyder Cut. I did think it was genuinely a better movie than the original.
Which, you know, that's hard to not be better.
But it seems like ever since that movement got traction, it feels like their bullying almost got validated, which means that they can pursue this course of action and feel that they'll be rewarded for it.
I think we said this at the time when we did our Snyder Cut review years ago, and that was one of the first episodes we ever did.
It was one of the first flashback memories.
Our episode was nearly as long as the Snyder Cut as
well. Yeah, it was such a long review.
It was, but you know, it was a 4-hour film, it warranted. Yes, but it did. I think we said at the time that while we we were happy, like Toby said, that Snyder Cut existed and was allowed to see the light of day, that the DC fans would come out in force and start demanding all kinds of stuff. I was like, no, just because they've managed to get an average film at 4 hours doesn't mean that the rest of it's going to work.
Which I remember Rory being like, that's not an achievement.
Yeah,
that's,
I was going to say, like,
yeah, not
in 4 hours, you better deliver something.
So. Yeah. But I think this Sony, like, Marvel films that we have does risk being similar. Because do we know anybody who likes these films? Or is it like...
Well, it seems like the Venom films somehow seem to be popular. I really don't understand it, because...
They're so bad.
He's not the character.
No.
He's not the character. And even Tom Hardy is a good actor. I'm going to just put that out there. But he is not good in this.
I don't think that's controversial.
What I mean is, I'm going to then slander him afterwards by saying how I think his performances in these films are bad. I feel like he's just phoning it in for the paycheck.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess have fun with it. But I don't know. Like, Venom's always been an extraordinarily, like, big favorite of mine, and Carnage even more so. The two of my favorite Spider-Man villains with Green Goblin and Doc Ock. Yeah. You know, I'm not particularly unique. I like the cool ones, but
not the Hypno Hustler. What are you doing?
Yeah, he's not my top 10. But what's crazy is that they just get the character so goddamn wrong. Yeah, Tom Hardy really just totally wasn't wrong. He just wasn't right for the character, because they played him like a kind of a goofy failure version of Peter Parker, and I guess that's kind of what he was, but
I'd rather see him do it than Topher Grace again, tell you though.
Yeah, true. It just seems like Venom and Eddie Brock's sort of character just seems hard to deliver on film, at least with Sony's IP.
I just think, well, this is where me and you, we're going into a bigger discussion about Marvel and I guess Spider-Man, but this is where me and you differ, and maybe we can return to this at a later date. But I'm not the biggest fan of Venom as a character, I guess, in the comics. He's fine. Like, he does what he needs to do. I'm a big oozing. I far preferred Agent Venom. I think that was a really good run, and I think
But he's still Venom, isn't it?
It is. But I guess it's whether you Venom. Which Venom, you know, you class as being.
Flash Thompson was a fantastic Venom. I think he was arguably had some of the better storylines. I think this is definitely a topic.
Yeah, it's a topic for another time. But what I was going to say is that I feel like whatever version of Venom they're trying to do, it's just not working at all. Like, and I really don't understand how people like it, because it's just so not good. And Morbius, as we said, we don't need to talk about that ever again, but that's just way worse. And it's just like, I don't even know what they're trying to do with this Madam Web film. I just don't even know. It's like I hear that title and I'm like, why? Like, why? Why are we doing
this? Who asked for this?
Yeah. And it's like with the Justice League films, even though we've just said they shouldn't have really been, like, we shouldn't pander to people like that, but there clearly was a very vocal audience for that. Nobody's asking for this from Sony. Nobody wants this. People want more cartoons like Into the Spider-Verse. Nobody wants like Madam Web films. I mean, did I lie?
No, nobody wants you, Sony. Nobody wants you.
I think it's safe to say that we're not excited for this one. No.
In summary.
We're not really excited for the Sony Spider-Man universe as a whole. There's a lot of convincing they need to do for us.
Just stop
and like, things like Venom and Morbius, you know, things that haven't worked and, you know, they need to go a long way to convince us. But I guess moving on to villains who were good when they came out, we have recently seen in the news that Willem Dafoe, legend that he is apparently down to play Joker in any kind of upcoming adaptation. Which, what do we think about Willem Dafoe as a Joker? How would that work?
I think he's universally approved by everyone. I think, well, I mean, I can't say for everyone here, but I personally think he'd be fantastic for the role, but it might be the wrong direction considering they seemingly want to get younger cast characters for this current DC lineup.
And unless it's like a puppet Joker and he's teaching his kid.
Oh, Sonny boy, the time that I said, why so serious?
He's bringing up an old Joker kid.
The old timey Joker.
Yeah, yeah. Old timey wimey Joker.
I remember fighting Batman.
we're all starting to sound a bit more like Bane, though.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering what would break first. Arkham Asylum's changed since I was a boy.
That was a bit pain.
Yeah, yeah. He sounds like he's in awful pain as well. I got arthritis from when Batman broke my spine. No, I think it's good casting, but again, it would be different direction. I feel like it maybe is like almost maybe 20 years too late, I guess.
What about in a voice capacity?
Oh, I'm yeah, no, in a voice. That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So
yeah.
Because I think Mark Hamill's going to basically step aside now that Kevin Conroy is no longer in the role. He said he wouldn't do it without Kevin. So obviously, I think we mentioned on the Last of Us gaming episode we did about Troy Baker potentially being a good Joker, and he's got a good voice for that. But Willem Dafoe obviously has a very menacing voice, just naturally, and I think would work well. Maybe.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, he has been fantastic as the Green Goblin. You know, he's still personally, I think, one of the best on-screen Marvel villains they've had.
Yeah. I mean, he is a literal goblin, man. So.
Are you in or are you out?
I think he's fantastic. And he could, I mean, he channels the Joker. And it's interesting, though, because for a long time, it seemed like he wasn't particularly interested. So it does seem kind of interesting that it's suddenly come up now that DC's having this shake up and now the conversations are starting up again, and he's suddenly interested in a role that he wasn't too interested before.
I think as well, what I've read is he's very good friends with Mark Hamill, and I think he's maybe not one to speculate about a role that one of his friends is in, and maybe doesn't want to basically put his hat in a ring for something that obviously Mark Hamill has owned the Joker for number of years, and if he's stepping aside now, you go, okay, if he's stepping aside, fine, but I would never step on his toes, because let's face it, in terms of Joker's, Mark Hamill is his role. I think
he's synonymous. It's like Kevin Conroy, both of them are synonymous with the characters, aren't they?
Yeah, and if they're going to go down a new route, then obviously that's maybe well and full go, okay, maybe I will investigate that or look into that, but who knows.
Yeah,
could be interesting.
I had no idea that we're so close. That's cool.
I believe so. I mean, obviously,
the Goblin and Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I mean, I'd want to be friends with Mark Hamill as well. So,
God, yeah.
And Willem Dafoe, to be fair, although he'd scare me. I think he'd scare me.
He'll be sitting down for dinner, he'll turn smiling, and you'll be like, ah!
And you're like, oh my God, I'm sorry.
Are you enjoying the soup? No, God, oh, Jesus.
I just wanted to say I'm something of a scientist myself to me. It's just constantly.
Yeah, that would be great. That would make me happy.
That'd be good. Well, I think that is it for Nerd News. Oh, wait, no, it's not. I have some surprise news item.
Oh.
So today I noticed, I don't know if any of you have seen this, but Dwayne Johnson.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Johnson has won an award for Black Adam.
Oh, no!
Dwayne Johnson has won the...
Sorry, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has won the Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Award for Favorite Movie Actor for Black Adam.
Hell yeah.
Oscars, here we come, baby.
Hierarchy did indeed change.
This is the point where we all have to formally apologize to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He can suck it. I'm not like apologizing for that awful film.
Do they still gunge them for winning?
Is the Kids' Choice Awards, so make it that
do they ooze them?
Do they ooze them?
Ooze sounds better. Rolls off the
tongue. Oh, do they ooze them?
I don't think so.
I would have loved to have
seen
that.
I haven't seen a video of this acceptance speech because I was too busy laughing.
I bet he purposely didn't turn up. He did one of those recordings where he's like in the gym, sweaty for the kids.
Yeah.
He's like, thanks, guys. I'm just doing 150 reps and I'm so glad I'm Black Adam, but I'm not anymore. But I love you all. And then ooze froze on him in the gym. I'd love that. Yeah. That would be great.
And his Powerade drink or whatever it is,
yeah, so
it comes up on screen. But drink this, you'll be as strong as I am.
Are you saying this is not redemption for Black Adam?
No, it's Nickelodeon
redemption.
I was dumb as a kid. I probably would have liked that. Nickelodeon does not redeem him.
What's hilarious is he also beat out Vin Diesel. So.
Oh, they could have fought for it.
But then
they would have drawn because neither of them can lose on screen. That's the rule.
Kids, if you are listening to this, A, don't, because it's not suitable for you.
Go home.
Tell Nickelodeon that you'd rather watch Vin Diesel and The Rock fight for the reward than just give it to them, because we all want to see that, I think.
Yeah.
That's certainly once and for all. He also won the best favorite voice from an animated movie for DC League of Super Pets.
Really?
He won two awards.
How did Keanu Reeves not get it for Batman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Keanu Reeves doesn't need awards. He's already Keanu Reeves, you know.
Yeah. He wins.
Yeah. He wins just by being Keanu Reeves.
Also, while we're on the subject of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, did you hear about his idea that he had apparently
Is this just Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Is this what we've descended into? Forget cocaine, man. We're just going to shoot Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
But he had an idea, apparently, and apparently he pitched it to Gal Gadot and Ryan Reynolds on the set of Red Notice about getting DC versus the Avengers off the ground. Okay. Apparently that Black Adam was going to fight all the Avengers if they just...
Of course they would.
I'm
not opposed to the DC versus Marvel side of things. That would be pretty cool if it worked well, but Black Adam, No.
I'd like them to do those weird comics from back in the day. You'll know.
The Amalgam ones.
Yeah, where they did weird crossovers where...
Darkclaw, Batman and Wolverine.
Batman and Wolverine turned into one superhero called Darkclaw. It was Captain America and Superman, which was a bit... Was it Captain America and Superman?
Yeah,
I think it was. Which is a bit on the nose, obviously. But they had some interesting ones.
Thor and Wonder Woman mixed up, didn't
they? Yeah. Do that. If you don't know them, go look at those up. They're really weird.
Yeah, so, Amalgam Comics.
Amalgam Comics. Fun.
Yeah.
Any more Dwayne The Rock Johnson news?
No. I think it's time to move on to our main feature, which does not feature Dwayne The Rock Johnson. although maybe we could discuss what that film would be like if he was in it. But we are here to talk about the hot topic film of the moment, the film everyone's kind of talking about. Purely because of its bizarre title in nature, it is Cocaine Bear, which we have all seen now. We've all watched this 90-minute, I guess, crazy film that is exactly what it says, a bear on cocaine, terrorizing people.
I mean, it certainly delivered in the
title. Yeah, definitely did. There was a bear right on cocaine, 100%. So the basic premise is, at the very start, a drug smuggler in a plane has to unload a bunch of cocaine from their plane before it goes down because it's too heavy, and they throw it over this national park in Tennessee, and essentially a bear gets into it and causes all kinds of havoc. Drug dealers try and recover the cocaine. Some kids get lost in the woods, and basically everyone's being terrorized by this drug-fueled bear. as crazy as it sounds, I mean, I'd seen some pretty positive reviews of this before watching it. I don't know about you guys.
How
you felt going in. Did it live up to expectations? What were our general thoughts?
I think it did. I think it certainly delivered for my expectations, which was kind of just, this is going to be a throwaway but fun film. it triggered an illicit sort of primal fear of being eaten alive. I don't know why, but it's not like I'm really gonna have, but
you weirdo.
There's just this, too deep into my psyche now, but I've just got this irrational fear of being eaten alive. Number
You're
one, fear
down
of
your
death.
Dog.
Yeah. Don't you do it. I'm watching you.
Don't you chew me, Chewie.
I was going to say, it's called Chewy as well.
Yeah. So. I'll chew you up. But there's just a couple of scenes where he's eating people, and it just triggered something. I was like, oh my God, that's horrible.
It's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah. Really. And I don't know if any of you guys ever watched Grizzly Man.
No, I haven't seen Grizzly Man.
I did, and then did some research, and then I heard the last tape. I'm just going to put it that way. And it stayed with me for years.
Oh my God.
So watching this movie, it just kind of brought that back to the foray of my mind. And I was like, oh my God, this is awful. So it's pretty gruesome. But in a fun way.
Simone, what did you think? Were you agree? Was it gruesome? Was there enough of what you expected from it?
And then some. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be as kind of like vicious as it was. Like, I didn't expect it to be so in your face. I mean, I know it's a bear on cocaine, so I don't know why I was thinking like, oh, you know, he's just gonna like play fight with them a little bit.
Run seal
like,
no, film, like... guys. It is literally a bear on cocaine.
But,
you think it's some clever title? It's really not.
Yeah, no, literally, it's just that.
But yeah, no, I had a really good time watching it, and I think that's the most important thing. I think recently watching some films, I've been very disappointed and very let down and bored, and I wasn't bored watching this. I was thoroughly entertained.
It didn't cause you to fall asleep like some other films we've
mentioned. Franchise movies. You know,
it was also quite choppy in terms of this, it was quite nice and short. So
yeah,
it didn't,
a nice out, 90
didn't outstay
movie.
Its welcome.
90 minutes in a night, done. Great. Yeah. More films should be like that. 100%. Yeah. Ian, thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a good time. No alcohol required, but alcohol might even make it better. You know, that's it's a
it
good
wouldn't
time.
Make it worse.
It wouldn't make it worse. Like I think it is. I think, did you say it was a 15, Simone?
Yeah, I think
it's way more violent than I thought a 15 was going to be. Like, it's pretty intense.
15 kind of pushes the boundaries now.
Yeah, really. Jesus, people's arms are thrown around. There's blood everywhere. The scene where the ambulance crew just get absolutely
butchered, yeah.
That is horrific.
I think 15-year-olds are a lot tougher these days than maybe they used to be.
No, tougher than me. I'm a sensitive flower.
I know.
Well, I kind of felt like the initial sort of attack with the guy in the tree was just that one for me felt the worst because it's just slow.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
And
it's pretty intense.
Then the park ranger, she was a brilliant character in all the wrong ways, and just the carnage that she wrought.
Yeah, oh God,
in the office was just brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, but I never thought I'd see Mitchell from Modern Family be eviscerated.
No!
In a tree.
No! Yeah.
But there you go. This film has delivered something I would never find.
The two things that I definitely... There's two big things that I really liked. Firstly, it has one of the best death scenes with the detective having been shot by Ray Liotta. And him dying and thinking about his dog.
Yeah.
That is such a good scene.
I'm right there with him, man. I'd do the same thing.
It's played so a good seriously. Dog? It's so good.
It's so good. Has she been good? So great.
Little Rosette.
Yeah. And then secondly, something I just kept saying to Simone was like, it looked really good. Like for a film that I can't imagine had like a massive budget, the bear looked genuinely very good. Like, and I just can't help but go, because we're going to rag on Marvel again, why does their stuff look shit? Like, why do we have a great-looking bear in a film called Cocaine Bear, which I don't think any of us really expected to be that good, and yet MODOK looked like a thumb that had been, like, shoved into something. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it's nice to be positive about something like that for a while, because there was another really cool scene that I thought was, again, it was in the sheriff, not the sheriff, the park ranger's office, where the EMT goes and opens the office
door. Yeah, that she's did going, look good.
She's whispering bit, and then it which comes out the shadows. Yeah. I thought just the beady eyes.
Yeah, that was really well done.
Terrifying.
Yeah, and it that was terrifying. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because like a lot of these man versus nature films where it can be stupid rather than silly. This is a silly film, but it's not stupid.
It's not stupid.
There's you feel a genuine threat. Like you watch a film like Sharknado, you're obviously not thinking, oh my God, I'm terrified. Whereas you can kind of get the fear from the bear, especially in that scene where it's hiding in the shadows and you think it just like peers out. You're like, oh my God, because you already know what it can do.
Yeah. And now it's on cocaine.
Kind of gave me Lake Placid vibes.
Oh yeah, Lake Placid.
Because that's such a guilty pleasure of mine. Yeah. It's a bad film, but it's a great film all at the same time.
I'm massive fan of any man versus nature film.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything that's kind of high concept like
this. What's Lake Placid?
So it's a giant crocodile in.
Oh, okay, say no more.
In a lake in like the Everglades in America,
and they're fighting
like,
it.
But it's like 50 feet long or something.
It's really large.
Bill Pullman's in it. Who else is in it?
Betty White
is in it. She lives, her crocodile. She lives by the water and feeds.
That's great. Watching that. That's
yeah, 100%. Yeah. Deep Blue Sea as well. Oh my God.
Yeah, Deep Blue Sea.
Ice Cube. Thomas Jane.
Yeah, oh, a special shout out to my all-time favorite, which is Zombievers, which is genuinely, genuinely a really good film. It is so good.
You don't need to explain that film.
No, I don't. And it has no right being as good as it is, but it is. I seriously watch it. But
I feel like this falls into that sort of vein where it's like, it doesn't have a right to be this good. And I'm not saying it's like amazing. It's not the best film I saw this weekend. That goes to Puss in Boots. But like, it's a really entertaining film for what it is. And it's kind of like, I compared it to, because I haven't watched as many of those man versus nature films, but I thought it was very much like Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah, that's a great film.
Yeah, and Hobo with a Shotgun.
Like,
just these films that are just like exactly what the title says. They are just, you're going to watch a hobo with a shotgun. There you go. That's it.
And I feel we've been criminally lacking in that sort of genre of film for such a long time.
Mm.
They've all got to be a franchise now, and you can't just get a one-and-done... Well, I mean, they make. Well, yeah, I know.
We got Cocaine Shark possibly on the.
Yeah.
Yes, there will be a horizon. Sequel, apparently.
Does Lightning Strike twice?
I don't know how a shark does cocaine.
I would. Well, I think they should have mixed it.
It'll get wet.
Yeah. He's just annoyed because it's like, oh.
I mean, I'll put my hands up. I'm not an expert. It seems like the cocaine would get soggy.
I think they should have done something like, so this is Cocaine Bear. Maybe it's like, I don't know.
Cocaine Gorilla, something like this.
Oh, no.
Cocaine
Gorilla,
yes.
Yeah, Cocaine Gorilla, but Amphetamine Shark, like a different drug.
MDMA just, Monkey.
Now we're just getting into alliteration and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I would love that. Just different animals on different drugs.
Heroin Hippo.
Oh, that's a heroin hippo.
Yeah. Oh,
that's on train spotting, but with hippos.
don't do drugs, kids.
Unless you're an animal.
But yeah, it is good.
Yeah. And it's nice seeing Ray Liotta as well for one of those films.
Yes, this was apparently the last film he completed before he passed away, unfortunately.
And he said he loved making this, didn't he?
I don't see why he wouldn't. It seems like everyone would have had a great time making this film. I did not warm to most of the characters, though, I must say. I feel like there was a lot of characters when they didn't need to be. I feel like they had... Impressive cast, obviously. You've got a lot of big names in there. You've got Kerry Russell, obviously. Ray Liotta, we mentioned. O'Shea Jackson Jr. You've got character actress Margaret Martindale, which is a Bojack Horseman reference for anyone who watches Bojack Horseman. But you've got a lot of
good actors.
You've got a lot of good actors in there, but I just don't feel like... I feel there's too many characters for me.
They could have condensed it down to a few more. A few more.
Add more.
At least 10 more people.
Yeah.
Do we feel that's fair?
No, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's... I don't know, Simone, maybe you agree because we watched it together, but I didn't feel very, particularly Ray Liotta's son and Ray Liotta's like hitman cleaner upper guy. I kind of was like, they're just sort of props, I guess, to move around the story. Yeah. Did you think that's him?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Like, yeah, sorry. My brain kind of just restarted there, but I'm in the room. Do you know what? No, actually, I'm going to say something completely different.
Okay.
The kids, I didn't find them annoying. Did you find them annoying?
I didn't find them annoying.
And I usually find kids... Funny.
I thought the kids were two of the best characters.
Yeah, I think they were the only ones I cared about.
I usually find them, like, children typically in films tend to be quite annoying. But I thought the kids here were really well cast, and the scene with them doing the cocaine was outstanding. It's like, it how much great. Do you take?
I kind of got Wes Anderson vibes if Wes Anderson made a film for adults. Yeah. It had that kind of innocence to it until they then take a knife full of cocaine directly in the mouth.
Yeah.
Well, there was lots of little scenes like that, because I really liked the sort of the bad boys, sort of the little trio.
Oh yeah, the dish.
Yeah, but particularly the scene where they're walking through, again, spoilers, where they're walking through the woods with the two gangsters, and they're doing the 20 questions, and he's talking about how he pictured what he's going to do with his friends with the cocaine, and it's just their massacred bodies next to him. He'd be like, me and my boys. Yeah. And it's just like a flash of him with them, and it's just like this scenic sort of scene, but they're just decapitated. And just, dude, that is brilliant. Yeah.
They are good. I did like them a lot as well. I think I agree that the kids and the three boys, especially them trying to mug the guy in the toilet, was hilarious.
Yeah.
I think a character that I was just like, again, it's kind of maybe too many characters, was the female police officer who just randomly turned up and was a crooked one, and then by the end she just kind of disappeared and gave him the dog, and then it was all fine. And I was like, what are you doing here? What is this?
And the hikers were pretty obsolete. Other than the fact that they were just a bit cannon fodder and provided a flashlight, and that was pretty much his deus ex machina.
Yeah.
I can provide you a flashlight to go into the cave.
Yeah.
That's more or less true. It.
Yeah. I liked the little baby bears on cocaine too.
That was a good moment.
And then I think not to be like, oh, and then the end of the film, because we can still talk about it, but I feel like the end was just like a bit abrupt.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, how do you end a film like Cocaine Bear? But I guess the implication they were trying to say is like, the bear's still out there on cocaine. And then they have the bit where it's like, oh, look, but honey, there's some bears and they're on cocaine. And I was just kind of like, that was a weird ending. That was odd. Because it was almost as if like they were saying the bear knew Ray Liotta was evil, so killed Ray Liotta. And now, because Ray Liotta's dead, we can relax. But then that wasn't the point. The point was the bear was on cocaine and was just killing everybody indiscriminately, not just Ray Liotta. It's kind of weird. The ending was odd. I thought they would just keep killing people.
Yeah.
Also, the sequel needs to be Cocaine Bear, the rehab story.
We said this.
That cocaine is going to run out.
It's an Oscar drama.
Right? Yeah. And then the third one, Cocaine Bear Relapse.
Yeah.
Cocaine's
going to run out. That cocaine's going to run out. Now, I would not want to be around the bear on a cocaine hangover.
When it comes down, when it's on a come down, then it's not good. You don't want to be around it.
Bear with a sore head, right?
Yeah, bear with a sore head.
Oh my bloody hell! What am I doing? I'm gonna kill you all.
Yeah. Maybe just walk into me so I can kill you instead.
But I think you're right about the ending. I think they spent a lot doing some of the set pieces like towards like throughout the rest of the film, and then kind of maybe rushed the ending a tiny bit. It's not a terrible ending. It's probably the ending you'd expect. They're not going to kill the bear, let's be honest, because you can't do that in a film these days.
I sided with the bear for.
The bear is innocent. The bear's just got into some drugs and doesn't know what's going on.
The bear's having a good time.
He's having a good time, and even the little bears, they've got a problem for life now. I mean, no one's considering that, but I think there are some. But there are some good bits throughout, some set pieces. We obviously mentioned the ambulance scene where they're obviously getting away in the ambulance, and that bit where she flips out of the bed onto the road. Made me cringe.
Also, Ray Liotta getting ripped apart.
was.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean,
that was quite the send off.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. I mean, I did think that at the time. I was like, God, your last film, and this is how you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably what he would have wanted. He probably literally goes, "Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, if you want to make it your last one, go for it." But
yeah, might as well. But yeah, it's just
what was our what was our favorite bit of the film?
It's hard. I think probably the for me the park ranger's office. From
that was very good
beginning to the end with the EMTs turning up and getting away. I think that sort of section for me was the highlight.
That was good. It was really well done. That's
mixed the horror and the comedy quite well there.
I would have to say the police officer's death. I think that was like, I mean, I think all of it on where he shoots. It's Ice Cube's son, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's what he's just known as to me.
Ice Cube's son.
Ice Cube's son. He gets, like, when he shoots him in the hand, all of that bit, the bear turns up, falls asleep. I think that's all quite good. And then his death scene is just, like, outstanding. I think that's a really good scene.
Yeah, I like the bit where the kids, the young boy especially, I think he was my favorite character too, yeah. Although I did, he's just at the end shouting and he goes, "I'm just so tired."
That is good.
And he's just trying to get like food and he's like, "I got any food?" And he's just trying to, he's just, the drugs are kicking in and he just loses his mind at the end. I love that. Simone, your favorite bit?
I think it's I already mentioned it, but it's the scene with the kids taking the cocaine. That was
that
really made me laugh. That was phenomenal.
Yeah,
and then just all the scenes with the bear, every single one.
Every scene with the bear was good, and
the
like
bear
I said,
was outstanding.
The bear looked great as well. So it wasn't
Marvel hire these people? Jesus, yeah. Get a grip.
If Marvel, you ever do take on a bear superhero or villain, call up these guys because they know how to do it. So it's clearly working. And funny enough, you know, it delivers on the laughs, which you'd expect from someone like Elizabeth Banks, who directs it, to kind of be able to, obviously she's very funny woman, very funny person. So yeah, I think generally for 90 minutes of your time, it's well worth it, right?
Yeah. I'd say it's broadly good. That's what I would give it, a broadly good.
We all agree with broadly good?
Broadly good across the board.
Broadly
awesome.
Good.
Great. Wait to see what Cocaine Shark, if that does become a thing, will
definitely
do.
Definitely should be different drugs, different animals. It really should. They're missing a trick there. They can make an entire franchise of like different animals on different drugs.
Yeah, 100%. And
I mean, ethically terrible, but just, you know, lean into it.
They started now, so much.
I mean, the door's already open. You might as well just fart for it.
Ecstasy owl.
Ecstasy owl.
Just pecking everybody's eyes.
Oh, I really hope we're still doing this in a few years when Ecstasy Owl comes out. I told you so. But yeah, I think we all enjoyed it. It's great. Go and watch it. I think it deserves the good reviews it's getting. Yes. We've said it's broadly good. So yeah, enjoy. And I think that's all we have time for this week, guys. Thank you, as always, guys, Toby, Ian, and Simone, for joining me.
Thank you, Chris, for hosting, because without you,
it's
a complete...
No, it's fine. I'm glad, always glad to be here. Always glad to chat to you guys. Obviously, thank you to Hudson East for our amazing intro music, as always.
Thank you to Andrew Stylo as well for our logo.
Our new logo. If you were wondering what Toby and I look like, we are on there now. So,
old and pale.
Yeah, it wasn't the other two guys who've been on there for a long time.
Also, my hands are not that big in real life. or are they? I have those foam hands, you know.
Yeah. You've got the weird sausage hands from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, great film. Thank you, of course, to UK Film Review, who we are in partnership with this week, and for having us every month. You can check out the other UK Film Review shows on the channel each week, like The Brilliant Gay Actually, hosted by the amazing Amber and Joyce, where they talk all about LGBT representation in cinema. And, of course, The Screen Test, hosted by our good friend Rachel, who gets into all things horror movies. And of course, thank you to all you wonderful listeners that tune in every week. If you have enjoyed listening to us here on UK Film Review, please be aware that we have another channel at The Phantom Zone. You can find us at The Phantom Zone, where we talk about all kinds of nerdy stuff from Marvel, DC. We're doing reviews of The Last of Us, and a whole host of other topics. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now SoundCloud. So if you do like us, feel free to join us over there.
If you've stayed this long, I assume that you do. So yes. you may as well go listen to more of this.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just seamless. It's always seamless as it is every week. But yeah, join us there at the Phantom Zone. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at the Phantom Zone Podcast as well. But until then, thank you for listening and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.